Welcome to Living Faith Fellowship in Klamath Falls, Oregon. We pray that God will use today's message to speak to you directly and transform you eternally. And now to Pastor Rich.
So I want to start out by just talking to married men. So if you're not married this morning or you're not a man, this is not for you. But married men understand what a peace offering is. I'm hearing some amens. You know, there's probably been one of those times where you engaged mouth before brain. And after you did that, you decided, you know, what kind of flowers and what kind of candy would be a great peace offering. And you want to appease something that maybe you started. But the concept of a peace offering originates back in the law in the book of Leviticus with Moses. And I want to explain it to you as we start this morning. Leviticus 7:11 says this. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes blended with oil. Besides the cakes as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. I'm going to give you three reasons why there are peace offerings in the Old Testament, okay? There were only three, and here they are. One, we offered a peace offering to God to thank him for the good gifts he had given us. The second one is we offer peace offerings to thank the Lord for delivering us at a times of trial. We realize that God gets us out of these times of trial, and so we offer him this peace offering. The final one is the one we probably should concentrate on, is that we offer peace offerings as a vow unto the Lord. But here's what I didn't realize, and as I was studying, I was like, that's pretty amazing. Unlike me offering my wife a peace offering to try to make amends for something that I have said or done, do you know our peace offerings were never to appease God for our sin or because he was angry with us. It never was about that. It was always a thanksgiving unto the Lord. Romans 5:1 in the New Testament, this is what Paul said. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Romans 5:1 didn't say someday you will have peace. What it says is you have peace today if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the only caveat right there. So we have peace because we've been justified by faith in the finished work of Christ. Keep that in the back of your mind as you open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2 as we continue in our Advent series, taking a break out of the book of Acts. Today is the second day of Advent, and the topic obviously is on peace. Peace. And today we're going to talk about what actual peace is, but we're also going to talk about how it affects our life right now. You know, if you live in this world, you realize that there are so many circumstances just swirling around us, and peace seems elusive, but not for the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have peace today. Remember what Advent means. Advent means coming, and it was all about a celebration looking forward to the coming of Messiah. And we're looking forward to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have your Sunday sermon notes, Roman numeral 1, what about before faith? What about it? If your Bibles are open, Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 11. The Apostle Paul said, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, catch this, that at that time you were without Christ. And because you were without Christ, listen to what happened. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, you had no hope and you're without God in this world. That's who we are apart from Christ. We're without Christ, we're without hope. The American poet Henry Longfellow said this in his book, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, but there was no peace on earth. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, but there was no peace on earth. And if we live in the world's belief system, that's true. No matter what, we can't find peace. Peace is elusive, and we try and try and try. You know, we buy all these things to try to find peace, but it's elusive. But there in your notes, here's the good news. For the person who's been washed and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through Christ. And again, this isn't someday in the great by and by. No, we have it today, right now. You see, there is no way to have genuine peace apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul reminds these Ephesian Christians, you know where you were before Christ? Before Christ, you were doomed to an eternity apart from him. You had no peace, you had no hope, and you were lost in your sins and trespasses. Your identification could never be with the Lord Jesus Christ because you were without God. Now, when you back up and you look at the Old Testament, of course, the Old Testament identification with God was a physical circumcision. We've talked about this several times before. Circumcision was the cutting off of the flesh to identify oneself with God, dedicating yourself. So when God told Abraham to go and circumcise his children on the eighth day, circumcise your sons, it was all about this: identify yourself with the Lord, and then go be a light unto the rest of the world, be a light unto the Gentiles, that they may come to know the God of Israel, but be separate from them, but be a light unto them. Unfortunately, what the Jews did is they turned this separation into a hatred for the Gentiles. And they started to believe that God actually created the Gentiles just to stoke the fires of hell. And so they want to be separate, but they want to be separate to the point of, we hate you. There in your notes, these people were strangers to God's chosen people. They were without the covenants of promise and without hope. And without all those things, they were destined to an eternity apart from God. They couldn't have it. Now, you got to remember who Paul's talking to. In Ephesus, they had a fake god to everything. It was even the temple to Diana there in Ephesus. And so he's saying, look, you folks are alienated from the God of heaven. And because of that, your eternity is in real trouble. To be alienated not only means that we're going to spend an eternity apart, but all the spiritual blessings, they didn't have those either. They had no light, no peace, no security, no hope, no rest. There in your notes. Because true peace is found in a person, not in situations or things. This morning, a lot of people don't realize this, but can I just tell you that we have an enemy? If you're in Christ, we have an enemy. This morning has been one of them Sunday mornings that behind the scenes, the staff has done such a great job, you know, working things out and smiling while it all happened, while everything around us seemed to be caving in one thing after another after another. In fact, the first service, I had my finger and it was bleeding. I didn't even know it. I was bleeding all over my Bible. And as I was going, I finally went like this and, oh, great. That was just like a little addition to everything else that had happened this morning. But do you know what? In the midst of all that chaos, we can have peace. Why? Because my peace is not in situations. My peace is in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And no matter what, I know God is for me, and I know God's going to turn around and work all these things out together for good and for his glory. I know it. But these folks who Paul's talking to had no priest. They had no king. They had no Jesus, no prophet. That's the bad news. But this is Christmas, so I promised you I'd give you some good news, right? Roman numeral 2, brought near to God. Look at verse 13. My favorite word in all the Bible, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But now, mankind was doomed. None of us could build a ladder to heaven. Not one of us could make it. But now, Man, that is the gospel, folks. That word but is the whole gospel. Of course, it needs some explanation, but if you can remember that, that's the gospel. Early in their chapter, Paul said something very similar. There in your notes, Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ, by grace you have been saved. There's the gospel. But God, I was a wretch. I sinned against a holy God. I deserved eternal punishment. But God, with such a great love, but God saved me. And you see, it's not about timing. It's about the God who is able to save. Why did the Lord have to provide an intervention? Because I couldn't make it. Sinful man cannot go before a holy God. It's impossible. So there had to be this peace treaty. And how are we going to pay for this peace treaty? What am I going to offer God to make this peace treaty? I'm an enemy. You see, very clearly, Ephesians tells me that I was an enemy of God. I wasn't just not a friend. I was actually an enemy. Think about this. If you served in the armed forces, what do you do to the enemy? Think about this. But not God. I was an enemy of God, and so he sent Jesus. What kind of God is this? What are we talking about? You know, all through the Old Testament, we have these shadows and these pictures and all these hints that reconciliation was going to be provided. But they didn't understand. How is reconciliation going to happen between a perfect God and a sinful man? It just doesn't make sense. And not until we get to the New Testament, we go, aha, that's what's going to happen. Is God himself is going to come down in the form of a baby. He's going to grow up, have an earthly ministry, and then he's going to take the cross, and then he's going to rise again from the dead. Eureka, that's how I'm going to pay for this. I'm going to be reconciled because of Christ. There in your notes, the word reconcile means to bring together again. You see, the Lord created man and placed him in a perfect place, and before sin, he had perfect fellowship with man. Imagine this. Every time I read the book of Genesis, I think about this. Adam and Eve, in the cool of the day, God would come and actually walk through the garden with them. Imagine Adam having these questions. God, why'd you create the platypus? That's kind of a weird one. And God would say, well, here's the reason. And Adam would go, oh, yeah, that makes good sense. How many of us would love to have that kind of communication with God? How many of us, truly? Yeah. Well, I got good news for you. You can. You absolutely can. But then Adam and Eve, imagine this. You know, we often say, if I only had a new truck, I would. If I only had a better job, I would. If I only made more money, I would. If. Adam and Eve had absolute perfection. They needed for nothing. They had perfect everything. And yet they still sinned. So when we start saying, if I had, no, you wouldn't. We were all born sinners. No, we wouldn't. Romans 5:10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? If you were enemies, how much more will you be saved by his life? So what was the peace offering? What did we need? We couldn't afford it. I'm so glad you asked. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received from the traditions of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, around the holidays, maybe your family's different, but around the holidays, we start to see strained relationships, do we not? Family, friends, coworkers, you know, Aunt Martha who comes over, you know. Strained relationships, especially around the holidays. Relationships can be tough work, especially around Christmas. But listen to what God does. There in your notes, we were all afar off from the Lord because of our sin problem. But now, we have been offered an amazing gift through the shed blood of Jesus Christ to bring us near to God. You see, the Lord wants that perfect relationship. And now by the blood of Jesus Christ, he offers it to each one of us. You can have it. You can go from being an enemy. You can go from being far off to brought near because of the blood of Christ. And how does that work? Because I all of a sudden I want to love God. No. That's impossible. You're incapable of loving God if he doesn't love you first. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins, the payment of our sins. And now that I've been brought near, I have this friend in Jesus who will never let me down. He's never leaving me. I'm never fighting with him over Christmas dinner, by the way. He's going to win anyway. But now I have perfect fellowship, this perfect relationship. And even when I blow it, he doesn't write me off because he loves me. You're offered this personal relationship with a holy God, which is just incredible. And how does that happen? Because the number three, the walls are torn down. Look at verse 14. Paul says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. He himself broke down the wall because he himself is our peace. You understand, peace does not come through job security. Peace does not come through money. God knows peace doesn't come through our government or any other relationship other than that with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there in your notes, Jesus is our peace because he is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. You know what's so cool is you hear arguments about just who Jesus was and just what his office was and just what his name was. So I thought, you know, probably the best person to ask would be the Father, don't you think? So, you know, I called God up and, you know, 1-800, call me. And I said, God, just exactly who is this Jesus? So 700-800 years before the manger, God spoke to one of the prophets, and he actually named Jesus. You ready to hear his name? Isaiah 9:6 says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and catch his name. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I think that's pretty clear who Jesus is, don't you? I think it's pretty clear. And notice Paul says, so he made them both one. He took the Jews and the Gentiles and made them both one within the church. You see, it didn't matter that the Jews had all the promises and covenants because they sinned. And it doesn't matter that we didn't have them, we sinned. So both of us needed a Savior. And so Paul says that Jesus took both groups and made them the church through his own blood. Our condition was the same condition they had. We were separated from a holy God. There in your notes. The reason we need peace with God is that we were enemies because of our sin. The divine law and requirements the Lord had outlined in his word were broken by every single one of us. We're all in the same boat. And it's sinking quickly. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Why? For there's no difference. Why? For we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All means all, and that's all means. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's a problem. There's a paycheck due for that sin. I think of Jesus. When he's on the cross, he's about to give up his spirit and he's about to breathe his last. He's there on the cross, and all of a sudden he says, "It is finished," and he breathes his last and he gives up his spirit. And we're told in Matthew, right then and there, that the earth starts to shake. There's a curtain in the temple that separates the holies of holies from the holy place. And this curtain is 18 feet tall. It's 18 inches thick. And we're told in Matthew that as this earthquake's happening, that this curtain, 18 inches thick, 18 feet high, rips from the top, showing it came from heaven, to the bottom. The wall of separation that no one could go into the holies of holies is abolished forever because Jesus shed his blood. We now, by faith, can come into the holies of holies anytime we want to. That is so crazy. Jesus removed the legal barrier from us approaching a holy God. So crazy. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." There in your notes, Jesus also made Jew and Gentile one body in the church by his ultimate sacrifice, granting anyone who would come to him by faith peace with God. I did a little word study really quickly, just as a side note, on the word peace, and it means this: completeness, rest, wholeness. Jesus makes us whole. Jesus gives us rest. Jesus came to stop all the fighting and all the enemies to God if you would simply, by faith, receive his free gift. Every person, doesn't matter the ethnicity, culture, any of that. And why is that? What happened? Well, remember John 1:1. Or 1:11, excuse me, he came to his own, and his own would not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Catch this: who were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So what does that give us? Roman numeral 4, full access citizens. Look at verse 17. And he came and preached peace to those who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Those who were near, the Jews. Those who were afar off, the Gentiles. We both have access if we'll receive his free gift. The wall of separation is gone. So we've been going through the book of Acts before Advent and Thanksgiving, and you know, maybe by June we'll be in Acts 15, I don't know. Maybe next October, I don't know. But when we get to Acts 15, you need to remember where we let off. We let off in Acts 10. Remember what had happened, that Peter goes down to Cornelius's house, he preaches the gospel, all these Gentiles receive Christ. They start speaking in tongues. They fool the Holy Spirit. Then Peter says, "What forbids them to be baptized since they already have the Holy Spirit?" All that has happened. When we get to chapter 15, again, June, October, something like that. When we get to chapter 15, there's going to be this argument within the early church leadership about what to do with those Gentile believers. Okay, what are we going to do with them? And so Acts 15:5 says this. Some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, so catch this, some of the religious leaders actually believed in Christ, rose up saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the laws of Moses." Now the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. And when there had been much dispute, so there was a little argument going on, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us," there in your notes, "and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." By faith. Jesus offers the same salvation to us who were afar off as he did to the Jews. Through him, we both have access. And what does full access mean? Think about this. We can come into the presence of the Lord, full access to the King of Kings. I want you to think about this. If you were to go to Saudi Arabia today, and let's say without an invitation, you decide to blow through the doors and go into the king's quarters. What do you think is going to happen? If you don't know, let me just tell you. They're going to kill you, okay? And I don't mean almost kill you. They're going to kill you dead. You can't go in to the king's quarters without being invited. But what about a son? What about a child of the king? What happens if that person goes into the king's quarters? Huh? Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Why? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in our time of need. Where does that access come from? Through him. We both have access. There in your notes, a son of the king would never be refused access to their father. Neither are we refused access because we have been given sonship to the King of Kings, so we can boldly enter in. Jesus is our peace. Jesus made our peace. Jesus preached peace because he is the Prince of Peace. As a righteous judge, Jesus had every right to come down here and cast judgment on each one of us. But instead, he took the cross because he is our peace. So I want to get practical this morning. What's the one thing that you hear around Christmas all the time? Peace on earth, right? Peace on earth. But is there really peace on earth? Where is it? Because at times, peace on earth seems a little elusive to me. Especially if you're going through the parking lots around this time in the mall. I mean, that's a good time of repentance and prayer for me. But Henry Longfellow said, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, but there was no peace on earth. And again, because without Jesus Christ, there's no peace. There's just none. And remember, we start talking about this peace offering, right? That it's a thanksgiving offering and all this, but it does not appease God for our sin. So therefore, there in your notes, Jesus came as a peace offering to fulfill a vow to the Father to break down the wall of separation between the Father and us and grant us the peace of God. So, you know, the Bible's pretty elementary. I am told that the New King James Version of the Bible is about a fifth grade reading level. Praise the Lord. So, you know, so many people tell me how to find peace. Tell me what you have to do. And so I'm such a simple-minded guy that I have to go right back to Scripture. So I'm going to tell you how to find this elusive peace, okay? Ready? Isaiah 26:3. You, God, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts you. If you can't find this elusive peace this morning, either A, your mind is not stayed on him, or you're not trusting him. And that's an issue. You know, Jesus, as he was getting ready to go back to the Father, he made some incredible promises. And I'm going to tie this in, I promise you. But every funeral I think I've ever done, I've used this passage, and it's John 14:1. Jesus himself said to his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And then he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So, I thought about this. My older two boys and their families are coming down next weekend because their cars have a problem driving south. And the one time a year that their car can find south, they're coming down for Christmas. And I thought about this. We have this guest room that, you know, we never use. And I thought, if I know someone's coming and I'm going to prepare a place, I go check the sheets, right? Make sure no spiders got in there or nothing gross happened, right? You know, imagine them putting their feet in them sheets and a spider bites them, you know? Well, maybe they'd spend some time at my house then. I don't know. But anyway, why would I go prepare my guest room unless they were coming? And Jesus said, hey, I am going to prepare this place for you. That where I go, you can be. Now, I want to talk about the majesty of our galaxy for just a minute, right? We live in this thing called the Milky Way. For those of you who didn't know you were going to science class this morning, congratulations. But I am told that the Milky Way, that if you traveled at the speed of light from one end of the Milky Way to the other end of the Milky Way, catch how long it would take, 150,000 years to travel from one side of the Milky Way to the other side of the Milky Way. The Milky Way is pretty big. It's pretty big, right? So think about this. Stay with me for a minute. I promise I'll clean it up. I am told that there are over 500 billion other galaxies out there. Think about this. So the Milky Way take you 150,000 years from one side to the other, and that's only one of 501 billion galaxies. Wow. Okay, that's a big deal, right? Let me tell you an even bigger deal. The Lord created all of that in 6 days. Put on your thinking caps here. In 6 days, God created 501 billion Milky Ways. Jesus left 2,000 years ago and says, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you can go too. In my Father's house are many mansions. What does that place look like? Whoa. And so this is the God who says, I came as your peace offering, and I came to give you peace. Trust me. And you know, we're so slow to learn sometimes. I'll trust God for this and that and this and that, but then all of a sudden I got to let my mind start spinning out of control. What happens is it robs us of our joy. Because Jesus is our peace. And we're told that if we keep our mind stayed on him, that he'll keep us in perfect peace. Why? Because we trust in him. This is what it says in the New Testament. Paul said in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then what happens? And the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's what happens. You know, the Spirit comes to live in us, and he empowers us to trust him. He empowers us to live in that perfect peace. He empowers us to walk. Peter would say, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves, casting all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. The Lord does not want us to worry. Why? For multiple reasons, but one of the reasons is it says we don't trust him. And if this big God could create 501 billion galaxies that big, I think we can trust him to take care of us. And again, we're not talking about circumstance. We're not talking about things that are swirling around us. Again, I kind of hinted at this morning was one of them mornings. And it was. But in the midst of all that, I have peace like a river because deep down inside, I serve a mighty God and I know he's good. And Jesus says, you can have real peace by knowing me. There in your notes, true peace is not found in a location, through situations, or through things. True peace comes from knowing the Prince of Peace personally. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And again, when I was reading about the Milky Way, that from one end to the other end, 150,000 years at light, the speed of light, and yet it's one of 501 billion galaxies. He created that in 6 days. 2,000 years ago, he promised me that he went to prepare a place for me. Man, how big is our God? And yet, he loved you so much, he would send Jesus to become a curse on the cross for your sins. It's too great for words. It's too big of a deal. There's no person who's going to stand up here and be able to explain that to you any better. It's just too big. And so what Jesus would say now is, I came to my own and my own would not receive me, but I came to you too. What are you going to do with me? What are you going to do with this Jesus? He went to prepare a place for you. He wants every one of us to turn and trust him. He wants every one of us to have perfect peace. And we're promised it. And so why do we leave the gift unwrapped every year? That's the question.
Thank you for listening to a message from Living Faith Fellowship. Join us every Sunday morning in person at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. or online at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Watch our live stream on our website, YouTube, or Facebook. Our website is livingfaithklamath.com. Find us on social media by searching for Living Faith Fellowship Klamath. You can also find all of our links in the description of this week's episode. All sermons are available on our website. Find resources at the top and then click on sermons. If you want to show your appreciation, you can tell others about us, subscribe to our podcast, and you can also leave a review so more people can hear the Word of God. Thank you again, and God bless you.